All right, amen. Acts chapter number 11. So we just read the chapter, and if you notice all the different things going on in there in regards to Christian service, okay, this is the chapter where we learn that Christians get their name and where they get it. We're going to look at that here in a minute. But, you know, you read this chapter and you get a good beat on how Christianity started and what it's really all about. It should really make you angry. It should make you upset that there are a number of people in the world that say that Christianity is the bloodiest religion. Okay, now I've been kind of toying around with this for a while, and I said to myself, one more time, if somebody out soul winning says that Christianity is the bloodiest religion, I'm like, that's it. We're going to have to do something about that. So the title of the sermon is, what is the bloodiest religion? Okay, what I mean by that, what's the bloodiest religion on this planet? What is the bloodiest religion to ever exist? Now, I'll give you a little hint. If you know me, I only believe there's two religions in the world. So we'll come back to that. And one of them is definitely the bloodiest religion in the world. Now, right off the bat, when people say that, you know, you have the right answers. And I've heard this 1,000 times. You know, we always tell people, hey, you know, the Catholics aren't Christians. All that stuff you read about in medieval times, you know, that's the Catholic Church. That's not Christianity. Okay, but sometimes that's not good enough for people. Sometimes that, you know, just doesn't work. And so I'll often just say things like, okay, well, you know, give me some examples, right? Just that's always good, right? Put the question on them. Give me some examples. What are you talking about? Why is it the bloodiest religion? Okay, and oftentimes I'll say, well, if you go back to the Old Testament and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, well, we can do that tonight. We can go back to the Old Testament. We'll take a look at some things. But I'll often say, well, you ever heard of Pol Pot? You ever heard of Stalin? You ever heard of Mao Zedong? I know that's not the way you're supposed to pronounce his name. That's how I say it. So I like that better. You ever heard of Obama? Bill Gates? You know, atheism has a long list of bloody men. I'm just saying, okay? But what is the bloodiest religion in the world? You know, of course, people very rarely ever will provide you with a biblical example. They're never going to take you to Acts. They're never going to try to walk you through the New Testament to explain these things. And it's just really an appeal to, honestly, to liberal people and to gullible people, okay? Because those types of people hear this and they just run with it. They just say it. Okay, they make videos. There's all kinds of videos on YouTube. Oh, Christianity is the bloodiest religion. I've seen a lot of so-called Christian apologists trying to explain this away, saying, you know, well, you know, of course, if you go back to the original languages and stuff, you know, that's how come these people don't get it, because they don't understand the original languages. And you know, and if they did, they would understand that Christianity is not the bloodiest religion in the world. You know why they say stuff like that? Because they don't have the guts, they don't have the courage to just come out and say, look, Catholicism and Catholics are not Christians. Okay? That's really what it boils down to. Today, people just don't want to offend anyone, and so they'll circumvent these things and tiptoe around them, and they look stupid in the process. And so to start this off, what we're going to do this evening is we're going to look at what is Christianity. Okay, what is Christianity? Now, you're in Acts chapter number 11. Real quickly, keep your place there, but go to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. And we're going to just talk about what Christianity is, what Christianity is not. Okay? Now, here's the thing. Okay? A lot of people, if you ask them, okay, well, what's Christianity? What do you mean by that? And I asked somebody this very recently, and they said, well, it's people that proclaim the name of Christ. And that's what a lot of people say. Well, it's people that proclaim the name of Christ. They're Christians, and therefore, they're part of the bloodiest religion in the world. But the real question is, again, what does the Bible say? Does the Bible say that Christianity is a group of people that claim the name of Jesus? Very quickly, I know you guys are very familiar with this verse, but let's just look at it here from this perspective. Is Christianity a group of people that claim the name of Jesus? Matthew 7, verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Okay. Now go back to Acts chapter number 11. You know the rest of the story. What happens? Well, Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. Where do they depart to? Well, they depart from the great white throne judgment into the lake of fire. Okay, they go to hell for eternity. So therefore, it is impossible that people who claim the name of Christ are just automatically Christians. There are all kinds of people in this world. There are all kinds of people who have existed through time who have claimed the name of Christ, and they are not Christians. They are, in fact, burning in hell, or will burn in hell, just like this passage states. So we need to get deeper. We need to understand what Christianity is. And of course, you know, people will mock and say, oh, well, you can't just define that. You have to go to Wikipedia. You're not a scholar, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, what's the book? What's the number one book of Christianity? What's the guiding principle? It's the Bible. Okay, so we can go to the Bible to get our definition for what Christianity is. Acts chapter number 11, look at verse number 26. So it says, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And of course, prior to reading this, you see all the examples that are, you know, given in the chapter of service and teaching and preaching Christ. That's what the disciples were doing. Okay, and that's what it's going to say here. It says that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Okay, hold your place right there, and taught much people. So because they were doing these things, it was new, it was foreign, and people wanted to come up with a name for these people teaching these things and teaching the way of the Lord. And so look what the rest of the verse says. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Okay, so therefore it was the world, it was Antioch, the people that resided there that labeled these people as Christians. Now, you know, some people may read this and say, well, see, if you're not a disciple, then you're not a Christian. But you gotta back up for a second, because in order to be a disciple, you have to be saved. Okay, otherwise you're in the other category of people that are just claiming the name of Jesus and doing whatever they want to do. Okay, so obviously the first step in becoming a Christian or to be called a Christian is you have to be saved. Okay, that's it. If you're saved, you are a Christian. Now, whether or not you're an obedient child or, you know, disobedient, what have you, you know, that's on you. Whatever. But the bottom line is, Christians are saved people, people that have believed the word of truth, believed the gospel. That is what a Christian is. So what is Christianity? Okay. Well, Christianity is a group of people that are saved. It's the body of Christ. And also don't forget this, okay, in order to be saved, what do you have to believe? You say you have to believe the gospel. Absolutely. But what is the gospel? It's the word of God. Okay, Christians are people that believe the Bible as it is written. So in other words, if somebody says, well, you know, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but I don't really believe that, you know, Jonah was swallowed by a whale. You know, I don't really believe that God told the Hebrews to go kill the Canaanites because that's murder. I don't really believe that David did this. I don't really believe in hell. Okay, well, guess what, pal? You're not a Christian because you don't believe in the Word of God. So therefore, you can go ahead and shut your mouth. How does that sound? Sounds pretty good to me. Okay, I'm going to get my definitions from what the Bible says, not from what these idiots teach online or in the community or at some stupid college in this country. It's not going to happen. Okay, and of course, what is the mission of Christianity? You guys know this. It's to edify and to evangelize the world. It's not to wage a physical war, and of course, we'll get into that. Now, go to John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. So what is Christianity? Well, it's the body of Christ. We get that. We understand that, okay? But I want to show you a couple of verses here in John to just really help this sink down. So John chapter number 1, the Bible says in verse 23, it says this. It says, he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And of course, we know that this is John the Baptist. Make straight the way of the Lord. Notice that phrase there, the way of the Lord. As said the prophet Isaiah. Okay, so as Isaiah had prophesied this, that there would come a man and he would make straight the way of the Lord. Meaning he would rise up be full of the Holy Ghost, and he would get and help Israel get back to the one true way to God, which is by believing versus achieving. Okay, go to John chapter 14. So what is Christianity? Christianity is a one-word term that we use to describe the way of the Lord. Okay, that is what it is. So instead of walking around saying, you know, oh, I'm part of the way of the Lord, okay, that takes a lot to say. It's kind of like how we use rapture instead of the gathering, how we use the word Trinity instead of the Godhead. Okay, in our language and just languages in general, we like to use one simple word to describe different things or things that are, you know, have multiple words. So hopefully that makes sense. Now, John 14, 6, very familiar verse. Look at what it says. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. So what is Christianity? Christianity is the way. Now, let me ask you a question. In any part of the Bible, Old Testament or New Testament, do we ever see people just given a free reign ticket, just a blanket, you know, ticket that says, you know what, you can just go out and kill whoever you want to. If you're at the marketplace and you find people that don't agree with you, just slay them where you find them. No, we don't find that anywhere, do we? It doesn't exist in the Old Testament. It doesn't exist in the New Testament. And I know what people are thinking, oh, yes, it does. You know, what about all the wars in the Old Testament? We'll get to that. We'll get to that here in just a second. In fact, turn to Exodus chapter number 20. Exodus chapter number 20. And you know what else is kind of interesting? You know, you have to also ask these people, well, what religion killed the Lord Jesus Christ? Right? You want to say that we're the bloodiest religion. Well, who killed our Savior? It was the world. Okay? Yeah, you could say Judaism. You could say, you know, the Romans and all their garbage that they have going on. You know, there's really not a whole lot of difference, again, between Judaism, the gods, the religions of the Romans, the atheists, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, professing Christianity today. They all preach the same thing. They all have the same probation message across the board. Really, the only difference is what day of the week they meet, some of their vestments, okay, their clothing, and their rituals. That's really it. And some of their, the way they structure their gatherings. Those are really the only difference, okay? And look, and you can add all the isms you want in there. Satanism, communism, stoicism, all the isms out there, okay? They are all the same religion. They just have a little bit different culture. That's it. They have that same foundational message, which is you have to do something to earn righteousness. It's all on man. It exalts man over God. Even the ones that say, oh, no, it's all God. It's all God. Like most of Christianity today, right? Oh, no, it's all God. You got to give your life to Christ. Okay, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he gave his life for you. Okay, so again, Christianity is the way. It is God's way. It is his salvation, as opposed to the other religion, which is human achievement, probation, okay? So very clear, we understand that. We understand what the Bible says Christianity is. It's the way of the Lord. It is all of his ways wrapped up into one. Now let's try to understand what the Bible says about killing, okay? Because somebody had said this to me not too long ago. I was actually soul winning by myself, and somebody had said, you know, why does the Bible say thou shalt not kill? And then God has them go kill a bunch of people. And it's like, wow, you really got me on that one. it's almost embarrassing, you know, to hear that. But of course, you know, I'm upset now, but, you know, we do want to help people, and we want to try to lead people out of the snare when possible. So I try to refrain from getting mad until I preach these sermons. What does it mean to kill somebody? Well, it means to terminate someone's life, okay? So what you have to understand is there's a difference between lawful killing and unlawful killing. Of course, the liberals, oh, it's always unlawful to kill. Unless it's an abortion, then that's okay. That's my body, my choice. Yeah, you can't have it both ways. It doesn't work like that. It does not work like that at all. Okay, so you're in Exodus chapter 20. If you look at verse 13, notice what it says. Thou shall not kill. Now understand that first word, and this is why it's so important for you to have a King James Bible. Exodus 20, verse 13. Thou, What does thou mean? What does that mean? It's the singular form of you, you personally. Okay? So every member of the nation of Israel, and actually all Christians, we're supposed to obviously understand these commandments, and we're supposed to make them a part of us. Okay? So in memorizing these and understanding these, it says, thou shalt not kill, meaning you of your own accord, of your own free will, shall not kill. Okay? Now, of course, people will say, well, this should be translated murder. Okay, and that's why you don't want to have a King James Bible. If you would have had an NIV or something else, then, you know, it would make sense, and that's how you defeat the atheist. You go debate an atheist with anything other than a King James Bible, and you're going to get tore up, okay? Because those do have problems, and a lot of them. It's not that hard to understand when you get the wording down, okay? He's not saying ye collectively shall not kill ever under any circumstances, no matter what, okay? That's not what it says. Thou shalt not kill. These are meant to be taken to heart, meaning personally, meaning when the temptation arises and you get mad or you feel like you need justice, okay, you are not supposed to take the matters into your own hands. There is a process to follow. And of course, people would realize that if they would just simply read the rest of the Word of God. So that is what you need to understand, okay? Thou shalt not kill. You know, it's kind of like the Afghanistan war that we just left not too long ago. You know, now, are you going to say that, well, everybody over there is guilty of murder? All the soldiers, all the Marines, all the special forces, all the Navy, everybody, the Air Force, everybody over there should be put on trial because they went and killed people. Now, I'm not saying I agree with the war, okay? Don't put words in my mouth. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying, okay? But just think about this for a second. Our country sanctioned, legalized a war, and sent people who had volunteered to enlist in the government's military to go fight a war. Therefore, our government had declared that legal, okay? So whatever happened over there in that capacity, okay, if they have the rules of engagement and they are given the authorization to shoot, you know what? That's part of the job. It is what it is. And you say, well, that's violence. That's not violence. Violence means to violate someone. Think about when John the Baptist was preaching the gospel and Roman soldiers came up to him. And they said, well, what do we do? And he said, do violence to no man. Okay, John said that to Roman soldiers whose job he knew would be to kill people at times. Okay, you see where I'm going with this? Now, did John say, don't ever kill anybody and desert and get out? No, it's not what he said. He said, do no violence. Do violence to no man and be content with your wages, which is a sermon for another day. But the point is, don't murder people. Don't take matters into your own hands. And don't go around and violate other people. Okay? So what you have to understand is that killing people, okay, is different if it's lawful than if it's unlawful. It's kind of like last year. The news said, oh, this pastor in Boise said that all the alphabet soup should be murdered, and he wants them all killed, okay? It's like, well, yeah, I do, but I want it done legally, okay? Our desire is that the government would say, you know, we need to wake up to what's going on here, and hey, you know, the Bible has some great wisdom and some great laws that work back in the Old Testament days, and they didn't seem to have all these problems with pedophiles and drag shows and things like that, and so, hey, we should adopt that and make that the law of the land again and put those people to death. After they've been found guilty, of course, right? Lawfully, okay? There's a big difference. So again, murder is the unlawful termination of life. We don't advocate for that. And Christianity, real Christianity, certainly is not guilty of that. So go to Leviticus chapter number 18. Leviticus chapter number 18. And let's take a look at something here. We're just going to take a look at a few different passages this evening real quickly. You know, because people say, well, you know, God, the God of the Bible is murderous. You know, he's crazy. He's murdered all these people. Well, you better be careful about saying stuff like that because you might get your life terminated prematurely because God can do no wrong. What he does according to his law. So therefore, to charge God foolishly, to say that, well, God is doing something unlawful, is very, very dangerous for a person to say. And these people that say stuff like that, they ought to be afraid in their beds at night. They ought to be afraid to take their very next breath, because God takes this very seriously. But let's go to Leviticus chapter 18 and take a look at something. Now, before we start to read this, understand what's going on here. Okay, God has just formed the nation of Israel. Okay, well, not just formed it, but it's been forming, but you get the idea here. He's brought them out of Egypt. They're about to go to the promised land. Moses is putting things in order. And understand the government. Understand the chain of command. It's like nothing you have ever seen before or will see for a while. Okay, you have 12 distinct tribes that make up the nation of Israel. And the governmental structure starts with the Lord God. And then at this point in time, it would go to Moses, Aaron, the priests, and of course, those that they had established to delegate different tasks and things of that nature. But God literally gave them the law. Okay, there was no Congress, there was no House of Representatives, there was no Board of Deacons, you know, there was no outside entity that they had to go to. Okay, there was no office of the president or anything like that. It was what God said, this is what you follow, and that's it. Our nation doesn't do that. Okay, we have to live by the laws of the land, the Constitution, which we're not even following anyways, okay? But you get the picture here. You understand what's going on. Okay, now with that in mind, look at verse number 1 of Leviticus chapter number 18. So it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God." Why the emphasis there? Okay, because what he is about to tell them is very difficult to stomach. It's very difficult to understand. Verse 3, "After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do, and after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I will bring you, shall ye not do, neither shall ye walk in their ordinances." Okay, so they have a past. They have a past of living in Egypt, and they've seen a lot of abominations and things that they probably weren't even, maybe even aware of, were grievous sins in the eyes of the Lord. And so God wants them to understand that. And then where he's sending them, okay, he's sending them to the land of Canaan. He's sending them to these other places, and he's saying, hey, when you get there, I want you to understand it's just as bad as the place that you left, and they do not want you to copy them whatsoever. Verse number 4, "Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God." Okay, so again, more testament to how this works, to how the government of Israel works. It is literally God and then the human form of government. In today's day and age, we don't have this. Okay, we have our branches of government, and they dictate the laws of the land, and we have to abide by those as long as they don't contradict God's laws for us. Verse 5, "You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord." Now, the next several verses, okay, is all describing how God says, hey, I don't want you to uncover nakedness. He just goes through different scenarios. So we're not going to skip that because I'm afraid to read it. Just for sake of time, I'm trying to prove a point here. Go to verse 21. It says, "And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord." Both of those things are highly promoted in today's day and age by our government, by our media, by our corporate establishment, aren't they? Okay, both of those are promoted. Okay, and of course, because of that, we look at that and say, you know what, we're not going to follow that. We're not going to stand behind your abortion. We're going to call that out. We're not going to let you blaspheme the name of our God. We're going to call that out, and we're going to say what is truth. We have the right to do that, okay, because the law of God obviously comes or is above the law of man. So, enough of that said here. Look at verse 23. "Neither shalt thou lie," or verse 22 rather. "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination." Okay, our government certainly isn't following that, but we wish that they would. We wish that they would bring that back and execute proper judgment in respect to that. Verse 23, neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Okay, I'm not going to get into that. If you're old enough to understand what that means, then it is what it is. If not, you will one day. Verse 24, defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. Okay, so God is saying, hey, all of these things that I've just listed, hey, this is why I'm throwing these people out. This is why you are going to get their land. Okay, but people don't get that. They just say, oh no, God's murderous. Okay, the God of the Old Testament was crazy. I forgot the guy's name who said that, but you know, people say that all the time. You know, he's murderous, blah, blah, blah. Look at his standards here, okay? Because people had violated God's law, violated his standard, he says, you know what? These people have to be dealt with. They have to be removed from the earth. And in order for a nation to flourish and to be powerful and to exist for any length of time, okay, this is my heart. This is what I desire you to observe. Now look at verse number 25. By the way, this verse here that I'm about to read, this is why we say that sodomy is the only sin in the Bible that literally causes the earth to vomit. Look at this. And the land is defiled, it says, verse 25, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Okay, if you're starting to wonder why our country is being flooded with these illegal immigrants. And again, I've got nothing wrong with people that want to come here and make a better life. There are people here that I personally know, okay, that are here illegally, but they're saved. They go to church, you know, and I would, you know, amen, right? Let's protect them, you know. I'm not going to rat them out. I'm not going to hide, or expose them or anything like that. But that's the minority, okay? What's really going on is military-aged men are starting to flood this country, and you can kind of see where that could possibly go in the near future. And the reason why is because of what you're reading here, what is being pushed in the land, what is being allowed in this country, okay? And I'm bringing this up because it's somebody's fault that people die. It's someone's fault. And everyone says, oh, it's the God of Christianity. Christianity is responsible for more death than anything else. That's not true. That's not true, and you're going to see that here. Verse 26, you shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments and shall not commit any of these abominations. Neither any of your own nation nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. So again, bring all the immigrants you want. Bring them all in here. But guess what? There better be one law for him who's brought here and him that is born in the land. Why is it that we have to work our tails off and pay all these taxes, but they get to stay in nice hotels and free college education, and they can get away with murder literally? Why is that going on? Okay, we'll tell you why it's going on, because God is giving America a taste of its own medicine. Look at verse 27. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. So who's defiled the land that God is going to give the nation of Israel? Christians, because that's who Hebrews are. They have the kingdom of God at this time. They have the oracles of God. Okay, they're our fathers. Okay, it was taken from them and given to us, meaning it's really the same thing. Okay, well, guess what? It's the world's fault. It's their fault because they decided to buck the system. It's not God's fault. It's not Christianity's fault. And it's not Old Testament Hebrew, the nation of Israel's fault. Look at verse 28. The land spew not you out also when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. Verse 29, for whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be, what does the next three words say? Cut off from among their people. Okay, so if you're found guilty of doing any of these things in this chapter, okay, and you're proven guilty, God said at this time what this nation was supposed to do was to cut them off, okay, or to kill them. And you know what? That is not illegal. That is a lawful termination of life, an order given by the creator of the universe. It is lawful, it is righteous, and it was supposed to be done with intent. Okay, look at verse number 30. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinance, that ye commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. Now go to Deuteronomy chapter number 13, and we'll look at another one. Look at another one. In fact, in this one here, God is going to tell them the importance of actually going forward and committing the act to kill these people lawfully. Okay, but again, whose fault was this? Well, it wasn't the nation of Israel's fault. It was the nations in Egypt. It was Canaan's fault and all the surrounding nations that they were going to conquer eventually after that. Deuteronomy chapter number 13, look at what verse number 6 says. It says, thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul. Now look at this. Entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye, look at this, pity him. Neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him. So what is verse 8 saying here? What does this mean for us? Okay. Well, God is telling the nation of Israel, hey, if somebody comes in here, okay, and says, hey, you know, have you heard about this God? Have you heard about that God? You know, maybe we should give those gods a chance. God's saying, hey, look, the punishment for that is death. They're going to be put down. And you should not be a bleeding heart after those people. Your eye should have zero pity for those people. Okay, and this still has application even in today's day and age. For example, when people come into church and they're found out to be false brethren, or they're found out to be railers and things like that, and they keep contacting you and they keep saying, you know, hey, feel sorry for me and consider my point. And it's already been proven that they're false. It's already been proven that they're railers and liars. You know what? We ought not to have pity on those people. We ought to put them away. Now, we don't do it the way they did here. Obviously, we just say, you can't come back in here. You know, you need to leave. Okay, we just ignore them, and that's that. Okay, this here, obviously, much more intense. Okay, and God's saying, hey, don't have pity on them. Toughen up, be a man, be a woman, be a true child of God, and do what you're told. Look at verse 9. But thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. Now think about that for a second. Okay? Now, of course, your atheist might get a hold of this verse, or your Muslim guy, and say, well, see, you know, they had free reign to go kill people. It's like, no, you don't know how to rightly divide the word of truth. Okay? And I'm going to show you that here in a second. Again, with any time someone was to be put to death, there had to be witnesses, there had to be a process. It had to be made lawful. It had to line up with the law of God. And therefore, this is not murder, because murder is the unlawful termination of life, which is why so many people today are advocating to change the law on abortion, because then they say, well, see, it's not murder. It's just termination. No, you're violating God's law, so it's still murder no matter how you slice it. Verse number 10, and thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he hath sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this among you. Okay, go to Exodus chapter 20. One more time. I should have told you to keep your place there, but one more time to Exodus 20, then we're going to go to Numbers. And we'll be pretty close to being done after that. So again, we want to understand something here, okay? In this chapter, I just wanted to bring this up because God is not saying, okay, oh, someone in a closet or someone over here just said, hey, you know, what about these other gods? And you could just kill them right there, okay? No, you had to have witnesses. You had to follow the process, okay? Again, these things are important to know about and understand, because people try to twist them and use them against us and turn people away from the true God. And we need to have the answers, and we got to be able to explain these things to people very quickly so that we can gain their trust and get them saved. Exodus 20, verse 16. Thou, again, What does it say? Thou, you personally, thou shall not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Okay, against thy neighbor. So again, even back then, they were not supposed to make this up. Because I heard somebody bring this passage up, and they said, well, see, back even in the Old Testament, you know, there were witch hunts going on, and if you didn't like somebody, God was okay with you just saying, oh, they try to get me to worship another god, and you could kill them and get away with it. What kind of god is that? It's like, no, did you read the two books prior to Deuteronomy? Did you read that? Did you read Exodus? Did you read Leviticus? Did you read Numbers? No, no, you didn't read any of it. Okay, go to Numbers chapter 35. Numbers chapter 35, and here you will see that there is a difference between killing and murder. All right, Numbers 35, look at verse 30. Whoso killeth any person, okay? Remember, context means everything. Always be paying attention to context. Whoso killeth any person. Well, what type of killing are we talking about here? What's going on? Look at the rest of the verse. The murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses, but one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. Again, understand what's going on here. A murder is the unlawful termination of life. That is what that is. And nowhere in the Bible, Old or New Testament, can you charge Christianity or charge our God with being. You cannot say that. It is false. It is not true. Look, you know, it's like, okay, you guys are going to twist a lot of scriptures at us and whatnot. I get it. We understand that. But this one really bugs me when they say, oh, no, no, Christianity is the bloodiest religion of all time. Go to Luke chapter number 13. And we'll kind of get off this here for a second. Luke chapter number 13. So let's get into now whose fault it really is. Which religion is the bloodiest of all time? Again, you know, you're reading through Leviticus 18, really all the books there, you know, reading through the entire process of the children of Israel coming from Egypt, and eventually, you know, you read through the book of Joshua and how they conquer and they take the promised land, and you will see the only conclusion that you can come to is it is the fault of the world. It is the fault of those who do not want God to rule over them. Luke chapter 13, verse 23 says this: the one said unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, look at verse 24, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. So the question is, why? Why will they not be able? Go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter number 20. So again, now we're kind of getting into a little bit different, not topic really, but you know, we've been talking about physical death or physical killing versus murder, okay? But it doesn't just stop there, okay? Because the Bible describes something as the second death, okay? Contrary to what Jehovah's Witnesses teach and some other sects of human achievement, how that, you know, after your heart stops beating, you know, if you're not part of the 144,000 or whatever, it's just annihilation. You don't know anything. You just lights out. It's all good. You're just unconscious. You just don't know what's going on. Okay, that is not true. The Bible says that after this is the judgment. So, Revelation 20, look at verse number 12. Okay, now whose fault is this? Because the disciples asked the Lord, you know, are there few that be saved? And he says, yes, there are few that be saved. That's basically what he means. He says, for many, which means most, many shall not be able to enter into the kingdom of God. And so the question is, why is that? Is it because God doesn't want them? Okay, because we got to understand what's going on here. Look at verse 12. He says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. According, now look at this, to their works. Okay, so is this God's fault or is this man's fault? Well, this is man's fault. Okay, so why is it that these people are going to die the eternal death? Is it because Christianity is the bloodiest religion? Or is there another reason? Well, verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man. And here it is again, according to their works. Guess what their works implies? It implies their decisions, okay? Their decision to do things their way. That is the way of human achievement. That is the way of the religions of the world. Verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Okay, now understand what Jesus had just told us, that many will experience this. Most people, unfortunately, will end up here. They will end up in this lake. This is where they're going to go. This is unfortunately true. Most people will end up in the second death. They will go to the lake of fire. Verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, and we'll be very close to being done. Okay, I brought that up to simply say it's not God's fault. Okay, they were judged according to their works because they wanted things done their way. That was their decision. Okay, it's not God's decision. Now the Calvinist comes along and says, well, you know, God does choose and call certain people, so there's that. Okay, we know that to be false, so we don't even need to address that or really get too deep into that. Okay, again, the bloodiest religion in the world cannot be Christianity. Okay, very clear here. Most people go to hell. Why? Well, because their religion teaches real bloodshed. Their religion teaches blasphemy. Their religion is the one that puts them in that situation. So, does Christianity kill? Okay, and that's another thing. You know, you need to ask these guys. Well, what verse tells Christians to go and conquer physical cities and towns today? Okay, what verse gave Jim Jones the right to do the things that he did with the Kool-Aid? Because that's another one that people like to throw out there. Okay, what verses? You know, Jim Jones didn't believe the Word of God. Jim Jones is like your modern-day liberal, not to mention he was also funded heavily by the CIA, and that's not even debatable. That's a fact. But the answer, of course, as you know, is no. What does the Bible say? What is the religion of Christianity? What does it teach us here? Well, we know it teaches us the way of salvation, but afterwards, how are we to conduct day-to-day operations? We have a twofold mission. It's to evangelize the lost and to edify the brethren. Well, how do we do that? Well, look at verse 4. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, and we'll be done here very quickly. So Paul says this, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, meaning not physical. Okay? Not physical. So he says, not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, what you have to understand here is Christianity is warfare. We are called to be soldiers of Jesus Christ. And so there is a fight that we're in. There is warfare. But of course, if you read Ephesians chapter 6, we're told that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So what does this all mean? Well, look at verse 5. Casting down imaginations. Okay, these are all imaginations. The imaginations that pop into our minds, the imaginations that pop into the minds of the world and those people that would attack us, like the ones that say Christianity is the bloodiest religion on the planet. We can cast those down. And we do that by the Word of God. We do that by using the weapons that God has given us. Okay? And because that is more powerful, because that actually transcends physical reality and goes into the spiritual realm and has spiritual ramifications, it stirs people up and it gets them highly upset. Okay? And then they want to come at us and just make up lies and say all of these things against us. Okay? Look at the rest of the verse. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So that is how we warfare. We use the sword. We use the Bible. We use this to prove whether things are true or false. And we do this to our own selves. And we edify one another. And we try to get our thoughts and things like that in order. Look at verse 6. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And of course, I don't have a lot of time to get into that. It's kind of a complicated statement. But really what he's saying there, when's our obedience going to be fulfilled? Okay, well, when Christ returns, okay, when the mission is complete, he comes to get us back. You know, we need to be ready to see the revenge that he will unleash on his enemies, which are also our enemies. And you know what? You don't want to be up there like, oh, Lord, don't do it. you know, shouldn't we help these guys out? You know, you're going to be more righteous like that, aren't you? You know, there's a bleeding heart, you know, like, oh, don't do that. Oh, no. No, you don't want to be like that. Okay. You want to learn to hate the things that God hates. You want to learn to have the heart that God wants us to have. So, you know, a lot of people, again, of course, are going to say what they want. Go to Revelation 19. I lied. Revelation 19, then we'll be done. And there is one way that we kill people, though. If you think about it, it's not like we can put a number on it, but there is a way that we actually kind of contribute collectively to, I guess, the second death, and that is by preaching the gospel. Okay. Now, of course, a lot of you know this, but if you think about this collectively on this planet, okay, let's say in the next year, how many people are we going to get the gospel out to? Now, after you leave someone's door and you've given them a thorough presentation, you know, sometimes I believe later on, you know, maybe somebody else talks to them or they see a video and they realize, okay, you know what that guy said was true. I think sometimes they may, you know, in their hearts, they may finally call upon the Lord. You know, we plant, we water, we understand that. Okay. Other people, what they do is they procrastinate. And they're like, ah, maybe, maybe not. And they kind of play that game the rest of their life. But some people, after you leave, what they do is they sit down, they think, they contemplate, and they reason with themselves. Okay, and what they do is say, that's not for me. I don't want any part of that. And they wholeheartedly reject it. And they reject that to the point where God gives them over to a reprobate mind. It's true. It happens. So in that sense, we do, in a sense, kill people, but not physically, okay? And then actually the way that we do it is worse. But it's not us. Again, whose fault is it? I did what I was supposed to do. You did what you were supposed to do. You went and gave them the gospel. They're the ones that sat down and reasoned in their hearts and declined it and rejected. It's their fault. It's not your fault. It's not our fault. So again, what's the bloodiest religion on the planet? Well, it's human achievement, which would include Islam. Now, you can debate, is Islam more, does it shed more blood than Mormonism? I mean, who knows? They're all the same, man. They're all the same, okay? You know, the Catholic Church, I believe, is definitely drunk with the blood of the saints. And that's another thing. Oh, you know, Christianity is the most, you know, bloodiest religion in the world. Then why did the Catholic Church try to kill King James? Why'd they burn William Tyndale at the stake? There's all kinds of records of them burning and killing fundamental Christians, okay? Go look that up. But of course, oh no, they don't want to look that up. They just want to keep believing their narrative because it comforts them in their nighttime sleeps when their little heads on the pillow and they're like, oh, you know, and their conscience is smiting them saying, you know, this is true. The law of God's written on your heart. And they're like, no, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. I want things my way. This is Burger King. I got to have it my way. And you know that's how it goes, and that's true. Look at Revelation 19, verse 15, and we'll be done right here. And out of his mouth, of course, this is the Lord, the second coming, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress, the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And look, what we're trying to do is we're trying to tell people, we're trying to warn people, and get people on board with the fact that whether you, you know, it doesn't matter what you hate, and blah, 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 whatever, guess what? This is coming. Oh, separation of church and state. Separation of church. Guess what? You're not going to have that in the millennium. Guess what? Church is coming, and it's going to be the state. So we're just like, hey, you might as well just start practicing now. And that's all we want from the government, right? We just want them to realize that and implement the law of God because it's coming. Of course, they're not going to listen, but verse 16. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. Verse 17, and I saw an angel standing in the sun. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Okay, you want to talk about bloodshed? You want to talk about a bloodbath? Well, here it is. Look at verse 18. That ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And of course, these are the people that decided that they were going to be able to beat God and his armies and found out otherwise. But again, as bloody as this sounds, whose fault is it? Is it the Lord's fault? Is it our fault? No, it's man's fault, because man decided that he wanted to do things his way instead of the way of the one that created him. So again, the bloodiest religion on this earth, it always has been and always will be until this very day, is the religion of human achievement, which again includes your Jehovah's Witnesses, your Mormons, your Seventh Days, your Mormons, your Catholics, all these people, all the isms, okay? The religion that says you have to do, you must be doing in order to achieve, okay? Any group that does that or says that, that is not Christianity. I don't care if they call themselves Christianity, that is not Christianity. It is their fault. They are the bloodiest religion on the planet. You know, a lot of people give Muslims, you know, a bad time, but guess what? Judaism's got a lot of blood on their hands too, don't they? Yeah, they do. You know, it's kind of funny. You go knock on a Jew's door, you're probably going to get chased out of the apartment complex, get chased out of the neighborhood. But, you know, you knock on a Muslim's door and you're probably going to get candy and water, you know. So I'm not hating on them. You know, we want them all to be saved. I'm just saying, at the end of the day, you know, they have different cultures, they have different attitudes, but their message is unfortunately the same, okay? So don't ever get wrapped up in, like, what's bloodier, Judaism or Islam? You know, who knows? They're all the same. They're all Catholic. They're all, you know, what about all the kids that these people have been, you know, pedophiling and molesting for centuries? You know, think about that. Mormon Church is guilty of that. And you say, oh, I can't believe you would say that. It's true. Just because you don't hear about it on the news every single day doesn't mean it's true. The Bible talks about that, okay? These people that preach a false gospel, these ministers of human achievement, they are reprobates, and they are the bloodiest people on this planet, because they don't just take people's physical lives, they take their spiritual lives, and they make them twofold more the children of hell than themselves, just like Jesus said. So again, the bloodiest religion of all time is not Christianity. That is a lie. That is not what the Bible teaches, and there is no way to prove that. It is the religion of human achievement, which, by the way, includes atheism as well. So let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, again, for this church and for all that you do for us. We just pray that you'd bless the singing, Lord. We just pray that you'd bless the fellowship after the service. And, of course, we pray that you bring us back again safely this weekend. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.